what's up? This is Just Plain Nonsense.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Rob.
And today we got our guest in here, two guests today. For the first time,
we have two guests.
We have two guests, and for the first time, we have a female guest.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the first one.
Yay.
Are you assuming my gender?
Wait, was that the male or the female guest you just said?
I don't want to assume anymore. I don't know. We have people. Crap, I just assumed.
You assume they're...
They're species.
Yeah. All right. That's played out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I identify as a goose, so I understand. All right, so our guest today is Amanda.
Hi.
Hi.
And Eric in the other corner.
Hi.
We never established that Amanda was in a corner.
She's in a corner.
Oh.
Look at her.
I guess she is actually
in a corner.
You stay in your corner.
Okay, no one puts baby in the corner.
I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to say it.
High five.
So, today we're going to do an episode again about conspiracies. So this is
Conspiracy
Part 2.
Conspiracy Theories.
Conspiracy Theories.
So, let's go ahead and do that again so I can add in your little effect.
Conspiracy Theories.
take three.
Conspiracy Theories.
Part 2.
That'll work.
You said that'll work in the middle of that. Part 2. Part 2. You have so much editing. You're doing this to yourself.
Go ahead. Just do the whole thing again. Conspiracy Theories. But you don't have to do the voice change or anything, because I'll put that in here.
Okay, you'll change it more. Conspiracy Theories. Part 2. Okay.
So. I just wanted to sit here quietly and see how long it would take you to say something.
All right, so we're going to...
This is your show. This is your show. So I'm going to sit back and just sprinkle a little goofiness in it.
All right. So we're going to toss the ball back and forth on some more conspiracy theories. We might touch a little bit on some old ones with more detail. One of the guests, Eric, he seems to know quite a bit about it. So it'll be more than me speaking the whole episode. But we'll actually have some more feedback on conspiracy
theories.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
You will in due time. And Amanda, I have no idea if you know anything about conspiracy theories at all.
Amanda is here because she's a huge fan of our conspiracy theory podcast.
Yeah, it was like my favorite one you guys have done ever. So,
she asked me if she could come and hang out.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So she's probably going to sprinkle little bits here and there and laugh a lot.
Don't want to let the fan down.
No, number one fan over here.
Amanda is our number one fan, by the way. So if you want to...
Well, my mom might disagree.
Your mom is a fan?
I'm not.
Amanda is our number one fan, so if you want to challenge her, it'll be on a battle super fight.
Yeah.
On the podcast. So you'll have to come here.
If you just so happen to be local.
Right? No, they're going to travel.
That's fine. Yeah, they can fly to Southern Illinois.
They have wings and stuff.
Then if they do that, then they win, being in the number one fan.
No. Amanda's not going to give up that easily.
She'll fly further and then fly back and then be here.
I'll fly around the whole entire world.
All week.
Yeah.
It'd be an expensive plane ticket.
No, you have wings, right?
Yeah, sure.
See?
Okay, that works.
All right, now let's get into
On the topic, all right? All right, so conspiracy theories. There's a bunch of them out there. So let's throw one into the mix and get it started. How about, what are you thinking, Eric? Is there one on the top of your tongue that you just want to throw out there?
No,
I
not really.
I think you messed that saying up. You got to try it again.
What'd I say?
Rephrase. You said on the top of your tongue.
on the tip of your tongue.
Off the top of your head.
Top of your head, tip of your tongue. Either one. If it's
top of the tongue, tip of the head.
The teeth, the tongue, and the lips.
The teeth, the tongue, and the lips. All right. So, how about we start with...
That's a conspiracy.
I think it is.
That's staying in there, by the way. All that. I'm not mad at that out. This is such a good podcast.
I know. So much editing for you.
No, I'm just all staying. I'm telling you.
How about some because we know about the Illuminati and the Masonry and things like that. How about we try to touch base on some groups or affiliations that people that aren't commonly discussed? Maybe some out there that are, you know, be interesting to discuss.
Like ones that aren't like in the mainstream.
They aren't the mainstream.
I think that'd be a really good idea.
Like Trilateral Commission, they're kind of mainstream, but they're not like the Illuminati or like the main ones, but they're
like the Bilderberg Group.
Yes, exactly. There we go. That's a good one to start with.
And let's see, Bohemian Grove.
Yeah. Their symbol is the owl, right?
Or not? I think so.
Yeah. Because I think they have meetings in California, or is it not exclusively one place?
I think it is in California. Yeah. It's in a place called Bohemian Grove.
That makes sense. so fitting.
Michael never claimed to be the smart one.
All right. So I guess the thing is, what makes them different? Why do these different groups have to exist? And what is their significance in, you know, society? How do they affect us? Things like that. Like what makes them different than the Trilateral Commission, or how does this break down? Are they all linked together in one?
Yeah, they are all kind of linked together. For example, Bohemian Grove has people from different affiliations, you know, different groups such as even Freemasons and actors and actresses or people of power or influence go. So it's not one specific type thing. To where, like, the Bilderberg groups and the Trilateral Commission are, they are more of the same people, but those are mainly positions of power.
Like political, you know, power?
These are the people who...
No, superpowers.
You know, the uber-rich, the bankers, the some politicians... the elite media, and, you know, the Bilderberg group, they actually have a meeting where they set their agenda for the year. So you have a lot of globalists that are a part of it. George Soros, for example, is one of the names.
Yeah, I hear his name a lot.
He's a pretty crazy person.
Isn't he the one that tried to allegedly meet with during the Obama administration to federalize the police? Or was that... Did you hear anything about that?
No, but there was an effort to federalize the police. You know, we had all those cop shootings and riots,
right? Which last I thought was kind of convenient.
And there were a lot
cop
of people.
Cop shootings are convenient.
No. The fact that it's a big thing in the media now.
Oh,
right after that, it just kind of aligns with the timing's kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah, but there was a push for people who do want to federalize the police force, which is kind of a scary thing.
Yeah.
You know, constitutionally, you know, the states are supposed to run their own police.
Right.
You know, when you get the federal government involved, then.
Yeah, I think that's the step process is to globalize is to make everything part of the bigger government and then control it from, you know, from that basis.
But it almost seems an inevitability because it's what they always march towards because... You know, every time you get a little bit of power, you want more and more, and it grows into a massive behemoth that the government can't control. You know, in this age of having to share data, you know, everybody's interconnected. And, you know, with terrorism and domestic shootings and riots and all these things on the rise, the need for them to be able to collectively act as a unit for a suspect who might have come from Florida and commits a crime in Seattle needs to be made much quicker. So it's already been moving in a more federalized direction anyway.
I see. Yeah, I could see them being able to justify that. Yeah, that just seems scary whenever we're trying to... It brings us into the conspiracy theory of them wanting to make it a one-world government. And just absolute government power and influence, because it's easy to, if you start to move people towards the same ideas, the same morality, the same culture, it's easy to herd them in like sheep, because now you have, you know, you're able to regulate the media, whatever information you're putting out, you're all united under that government.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some of the scarier things are the things that people have heard, like Julian Assange put out about the NSA. and everything that the NSA has been up to. And you know, the talk of the United Nations and a decent amount of people who have talked about bringing UN peacekeepers into the United States and having, like, UN police forces in our cities.
That's terrifying.
A little bit.
Huh.
But it is something that has been talked about quite a bit. And the United Nations a few years ago started the, it's called the Global Cities Project, I believe it's called, where they have put UN peacekeepers in other countries and other cities.
Oh, wow. So this has been done. This is not something new. They're experimenting with this. They've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. They've been doing it for a while. And they use, you know, the fact of international terrorism can be anywhere at any time. And, you know, kind of like the escalation of power of the police has been the same with these UN peacekeepers, who they can now, you know, use the excuse of global terrorism and needing to network more quickly for the Global Cities Initiative. And I think they even, I'm pretty sure they even have or had some sort of training in Chicago within the last year.
Wow. Huh.
But it wasn't police related. I mean, it was like seminars on terrorism or domestic terrorism or something like that, but there definitely was an involvement. They were even talking about putting offices in Chicago, and I'm not actually sure if they have yet or not.
Wow. Dang. So it seems like there's an agenda, and they're fulfilling steps, and they're moving along. Like, I think in the beginning, it seemed like to me, it was the banking systems is where they started to try to globalize, and then now they're moving on to creating this common enemy, quote unquote, terrorist and terrorism. So they're trying to protect people from all this evil, quote unquote, again, and they're able to justify protecting us by creating bigger government, whereas before it was just the financial means. And seems like they're just getting closer and closer to bringing it all together for, you know, safety reasons, but actually they're just kind of increasing their power. I know I'm kind of,
well, that's kind of the point. That. Yeah. That's kind of the point of globalization.
Yeah. That's terrifying. You just know? See them actually putting it into play and actually playing it out, and we're watching it happen. And really, what could you do about it? I mean, there's
not much.
That's crazy.
Not once it got to a certain point.
There's a quote that I heard on a TV show that said, that's what governments are for, so that everyone can be ignored or interfered with equally. What are your thoughts on that? Is that what you're talking about?
Goes into play. I mean, it's kind of the effect of it. I mean, it's more giving more and more power to the government and less power to the people, which is what, you know, our founding fathers were trying to drive us away from, was surrendering that power.
Right.
And now they're finding clever ways to strip it from us. And I would like to deliver more examples of when we see this. So if you know, the listeners can research this and see it's all around us constantly. It's an effort that hasn't been.
Well, they're essentially taking away all of our, you know, some of our rights, but also like they're making it impossible for you to survive without their help. Because like if you're like working, then they're going to, you know, you got to pay all the taxes and stuff. And then there's other things that they take from you that make you have to rely on them a little bit more.
Now, part of that is the fractional banking system as a whole, which most people don't know a lot about our current banking system. But after the Great Recession hit,
was that in 2008, 2009?
Yeah, 2008. The world kind of had to cope with, you know, a heavy hitter like the United States just, you know, completely running ground. And the fractional banking system, ever since we got off the gold standard and moved on down the line, is now a system that's based on debt as a positive influence in the economy.
Which it is most definitely not.
Right. So
it's a draining factor on everybody's lives.
Yeah. If you look at the total world wealth, right, only 3% of it exists as a tangible currency that people exchange.
Right.
And as positive, the rest of it, 97% of the global monetary supply,
this digital debt,
exists as debt.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes you wonder.
That's crazy.
And it makes you wonder, who is the world in debt to? You know what I mean?
Right.
They're literally in debt to each other. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, but you know, the rise of the credit card companies that keep people in debt. You know, and this is one of the great divides, I think, in the disparity in the middle class that has kind of, you know, further grown the wedge in between. You know, first you have the jobs, you have inflation rising 2% every year, but there is no raise to accommodate the rise of the cost of living. So if you work for 5 years for a company and you have the same rate of pay at the end of that 5 years, you're making 10% less because cost of living has gone up 10%.
Well, it's also kind of your fault for not asking for a raise.
Right. But so many people, in fact, there's a very large percentage. I think the majority go very long periods of time without raises.
Right.
And, you know, there's an age where people typically peak, and then that's, you know, what they usually make until retirement.
Man, I'm subscribed to this subreddit called Personal Finance, and they teach people how to go and actually, like, tell your boss, like, hey, I want a raise. And it gives you guidance on how to go about that, like, step by step. They give you instructions, and they guide you. And there are people who have, like, doubled their salaries because they decided to ask for a raise.
It's something that people should do, because even if you work 2 years for the same pay, you lose 2% of your purchasing power at the end of that 2 years.
You know what else gets me about that is that employers dissuade people from talking about their pay to other employees. It's not illegal to talk about your pay, but the employers look down on it because they don't want everybody talking and then realize that this guy over here is making, you know, twice as much as this guy doing the exact same job. They don't want it. They don't want you to know that, because then they don't have to.
Well, there's a lot of jobs, like I work for the state, right? And so it's not a matter of negotiating your own raise, you know. There's no tactic to it. They're frozen. It's something that's out of our hands. It's, you know,
in your line of work though, right?
Yes. But you got to think state by state, how many state employees there are,
right,
that have a state that's suffering and that they've frozen the way, you know, the raises for whatever reason. You know, they owe me like 3-step raises right now. That's insane. That's a lot of money on our bracket. So, I mean, it's, there's many jobs out there that you don't have the luxury of being like, hey, I want a raise. Hey, remember me?
Will you get back pay for those?
No. Because there's always loopholes. This is a contract loophole. The contract expired. It was nothing was negotiated. They'll put us where we are when things are figured out, but there's no back pay. Money is lost, legitimately lost.
And there's nothing you can do to make it.
And actually, this is going to make me sound biased at the expense of saying this. I feel like it might be necessary to the topic at hand right now. I believe a lot of political philosophies are put in play in countries to destroy their economy so they can globalize them. And I think that, you know, this is going to anger a lot of people, but I think socialism is one of those things. You know, just, you know, raising the taxes super high, having your first tax bracket of income tax being 49%, you know, depending on where you're at, 36% sales tax in a nation I'm thinking of right now. Like, they destroy the middle class. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they destroy the middle class, and then you're just super, like, you're elite, or you're just completely reliant on the government.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that going, and the other, you know, now it's starting to come to America, and it's kind of terrifying me because of the fact that, you know, they were trying to do that. One of the political parties that, if you know which one it is trying to implement this. And I think it's terrifying because people don't really understand. They don't look at socialism and its history across the world, and it's just horrible.
Right.
And I think that's one of those.
There's actually a global version of that, and that is the International Monetary Fund. The IMF.
I've heard that acronym before, but I never knew what it meant.
Yeah, most people don't really know what it is, but it's basically a pool that countries pay into. And that money
like
is...
Like a swimming pool?
Like a money pool.
Oh.
Kind of, if you're Scrooge McDuck. But all these richer nations pay into the IMF, and the IMF distributes that money to countries who are more socialist, who don't have as high of a GDP, who can't really afford to run things themselves. It's basically
interesting.
It's basically like international welfare. Woo. You know, so countries like, I believe, Sweden, who doesn't have that much of a GDP, who is a very kind of socialist nation, you know, they will receive X amount of money because they only have X amount of money for their people compared to countries like Germany, France, the United States, Canada, Mexico.
Right. Huh. Kind of keeping them above water a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, that money comes from somewhere. The United States pays into it.
Hmm. Almost goes into the whole free college, free healthcare. It's not, nothing's free. There's always, you have to look where the money comes from. And that's,
yeah. You know, like the United Nations, the amount of money that we pay to the United Nations to keep it going.
You know that you're talking about who's going to pay for this stuff and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That brings up a topic that it's kind of angered me a little bit. And I don't understand why it has to be this way. You know, if they're talking about like there's some global crisis, like say there's a meteor going to crash into the planet. Right. So they're like, oh, it'll cost $64 trillion for this. And I'm like, the whole world is going to die. Why are you concerned about who's going to pay for what?
Well, that brings you into the whole global warming thing, right? Right? The common enemy that we now have that can unite us, because you can't pick a country to be your enemy. You can pick terrorism, but you can't pick a country if you're going to globalize the world. So now the global warming's like, you know, that's the perfect enemy. You know?
You were talking about the Club of Rome.
Boom.
Is that a new playing card or something?
No, it's actually a group. It's a part of the United Nations. It's an arm of their environmental think tank. It's made up of former ambassadors and philosophers and biologists and
smart people.
Yeah, but that was something that they wrote when they first started back in
was it the 80s?
Yeah, I think it was some period in the 80s. But if you want to see the origins of global warming, then look no further than the Club of Rome.
Huh. So there you go, listeners. Look into that a little bit. You might read something interesting about that.
Yeah, research the Club of Rome. Yeah, oh, Michael just said that.
We're just going to touch base on each thing, you know, because there's so much to cover. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, I don't know your thoughts on the global warming thing, but I feel like that's another kind of a money suck hole kind of situation, you know. But
the global warming movement?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what's your thoughts on? Do you disagree? I mean,
no, I agree. And you know, a lot of it, like the Greenpeace movement, for example, was a communist movement brought in by communists when the Soviet Union fell.
Brought in by communists for communists.
Yeah. It kind of always was. You know, the whole, you know, carbon tax credits and I mean. It's ridiculous if it weren't true. You know what I mean? You have like the EPA who literally tries to put out legislation to tax farmers by how much dust their farms kick up.
What?
Or how That's much.
Look thing. At their water too. Like
or,
what they do with.
Yeah.
Their water's not going to kick up any dust.
No, that's not what I'm saying, Rob. Like what they, how they try to control land with water on it. I mean, there's they don't believe
they
in
the
any.
Standing Watershed Act.
Yes, exactly. There's absolute, like they are trying to tear down, like, first of all, they're getting lots of money from all these fees and stuff, but they're also like almost taking away your right to your own private property. Like, they do not believe in the right to private property.
Yeah.
Is this because they want everybody so reliant on the government? Do you think that's part of it?
They've been trying to tax farmers for how much flatulence their cows release.
Oh, yeah,
how can you even like?
How do you measure that?
Yeah, measure that.
They have measured it. They have spent tax dollars on this.
Bust out the cow fart meter. This methane is high.
I mean, have you guys actually seen the stuff that the government has spent taxes on?
No.
Like, they use tax money to build a tunnel under a street for turtles in like Oregon or something like that. They paid millions of dollars to study the sexual habits of prostitutes. These are legitimate things that the government spends your tax money on.
You know what? That brings a point up. There was it's a little story that I had or I heard. This there was a girl that was upset because they put up these deer crossing signs, right? And she's like, "Why don't you just put the deer crossing down the street? Like, why don't you put it just down the street?" It's like, the deer don't cross where the signs are. The deer
right,
can't read.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like
the turtle doesn't know there's a tunnel that goes under the highway.
They don't know that tunnel is for them.
But the government, But the government spent millions of dollars doing this.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
we're going to lose money if we don't find somewhere to put it. Turtle Crossing.
So, you know what? That's kind of it. You know,
I challenge you to go out and find these Turtle Crossings. I guarantee that money was used for something else.
Prostitutes.
For the politician.
Right. So how did they discover these sexual habits of these prostitutes? Did they bring in people to...
For the politicians.
Prostitutes to experiment on. Who are the subjects?
Well, that's how they get the blackmail, so they can allow them to have that authority, so they can keep
American in line. Male.
What? You know, some of the people in office were very close to Weinstein.
That's a theory we probably shouldn't go down, but yeah.
But yeah.
Well, look at all the human trafficking and how many political figures were involved in that. And I'm not talking about just in the U.S. I'm talking worldwide. I mean, do you know anything about that?
Well, I don't know. That's like a whole other topic.
You're right.
Are we?
It's a conspiracy theory, nonetheless.
Right.
We're fading in the conspiracy theories.
Pizzagate.
I think that was the term that I heard or that I read.
Yeah, you're gonna have to elaborate. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, it started out of a pizza shop, right? There was the front or whatever. You'd have to go more in detail about it than
Comet
I.
Comet Pizza.
That sounds like something on Futurama.
Yeah, you should give like a brief description of that, so that way we can move on and it doesn't seem like I just left that open.
Right.
All
right.
This is a really long and deep and very intricate case. And it was pointed out during the WikiLeaks of...
Debacle.
Yeah, the whole WikiLeaks debacle with the released emails and all that stuff, and Tony Podesta and some other people made some seemingly very pedophilic references, and so people have been investigating this very broad international pedophile ring.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. When they call and order certain kinds of pizza, that means certain types of kids.
Right, and...
I did hear about that.
You know, if you really delve into it, there is some very interesting, compelling things that go along with it. I mean, Tony Podesta is just a creep. I don't know if you've seen like the paintings in this guy's house.
I haven't been invited to him in any of his dinner parties.
It's like all half naked little kids.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really creepy stuff. And there's this island. What the heck is his name? I can't remember his name right now. Formerly of Victoria's Secret. He's very famous. He knows just about everybody. He owns this island and they nickname it Pedophile Island.
Wow.
And almost every politician has been there, right? From like Hillary Clinton to Donald Trump have both been to this place.
What?
And
Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, that was Google. I didn't know that off the top of my head.
That is the person. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting, especially if you go into the statistics of you know, missing kids, especially in the cities, you know.
Right. Yeah, you hear about the Amber Alerts and you think, you know, that kids are disappearing for some reason, and then you hear about all the sex trafficking and you're like, what percentage of missing kids do go into that, and then they're having to live their whole entire lives.
And that's a very intense conspiracy theory because, I mean, it's dealing with children, so people are very sensitive about it.
Right.
But, I mean, as we've seen with a lot of conspiracy theories, some I don't think are true, some I think are true, some I think are possible. I think it's good that we, as citizens, question things, especially our government. But we find a lot of times the truth is stranger than, you know, what's being shown to us, what's right in front of us.
Right.
So, you know, I think this is definitely one that should, I mean, if the fact that it's been investigated at all, in real life, you know what I mean? It should open your mind to other possibilities of evil, quote unquote evil, that goes on in our government. And
that's one of the best things you can do is ask questions and question authority. Like, it sounds like I'm like lobbying for anarchy here. But like when I say question authority, I don't mean like challenge them by not doing what they say, but like, have your own personal thoughts. Yeah. Like, look into things. Don't just believe what you hear. Actually look into it and research it.
Like I said in the last podcast, it's actually our responsibility to question the government, keep it in line. You know, I'm a firm believer in at least having the ability to ready a militia, to always keep your government knowing, hey, we're in charge, instead of the illusion that they're in charge.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to, keep that they're all powerful, but.
It circles back to the whole them trying to take over power. Yeah.
And then that brings in the conspiracy if they control the media, which I believe they do. They have a influence.
Oh yeah, they do.
So, I mean, how much truth are you getting? And if this is the snippets that's getting released from hackers and stuff, you know, like Julian Assange or whatever, then, you know, how much more do we not know yet that's just absolutely messed up?
A lot of it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, it's crazy just to think what's out there. And back to the whole globalization, that one I like talking about because it terrifies the crap out of me, because I see the signs of it all around us worldwide, and it's just closing in on us.
So when you say globalization, are you talking about like a one world government,
yes,
one world currency, all that kind of,
yes,
stuff? So that is actually one ultimate of the signs. Government.
Yeah.
In Christianity, that's one of the signs of the end times.
Right. But I mean,
there's a lot of things that are the sign of the end times. You know, well, yeah. I'm not a very religious person, right, but you know, you look around at the world today and it's just absolute insanity.
Right.
You know, I mean, today's society just doesn't seem to have the same values, you know, as
oh yeah, yeah.
As maybe previous generations.
Right.
Well, just the entitlement alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is one, and that drives me nuts, seeing somebody who's, I'm sure it drives, you know, a lot of people nuts, but seeing somebody who thinks they're entitled to something and they're not willing to work for it and they just want it handed to them.
Right. Which really benefits the cause, you know?
Yeah.
That seems to be most of society today, including the politicians.
And that is very unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, we're going over very general topics, you know, and we can always take, you know, any one of these topics and commit like a lot more time to it sometime in the future.
Right.
It'll be good. Know, like, yeah, Pizzagate or fractional banking or.
Right. Yeah. You can definitely, that's the thing about conspiracy theories, is that we're just trying to fit little snippets in here that people can research, because you could literally do there's podcasts that exist like it.
Right.
That you can literally do entire podcasts.
Yeah, and
if your episodes about, because there's so many.
If any of these topics interest you, make sure you go and research them, look them up. Like, don't take our word for it. Actually go and see what's going on in the world that you live in and find out what's going on around you. So don't take anybody's word for it. Actually do the research yourself.
And there's the common ones like 9/11 or the flat earth theory. That one's pretty fun.
I have a friend who keeps sending me flat earth stuff and I watch some of it.
I'm not sure I'm buying it. I mean, I respect all.
It's interesting.
I respect all people's, you know,
opinions
and being able to question whatever.
Right.
I'm not sure I've seen anything yet that makes me buy into it, but I mean, I'm not saying it's, you know what I mean?
It's interesting.
Who would be IBD?
I haven't looked into it a whole lot. I've seen little bits of it, but what I have seen is interesting with the way that they explain away, you know, everything that happens. Like, they're saying that the earth is a flat disc where everything else revolves around it and there is no such thing as gravity. It's like, I that just doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. I don't understand how that can be.
In order to debate that, we need somebody who backs it, and we would need to hear good points back and forth.
Right. And we have to have somebody who knows,
right,
you know, the laws of physics. And
I haven't been sold on it, but
engineering,
you know what I mean?
That's
when you have somebody that knows, that believes in it and knows what they're talking about, it's a very fun one to hear, you know, right. I enjoy it.
This is my question to any flat earthers. This is my question. When they take a picture of the planet Earth, right, from space, how is it possible, if it's a flat Earth, how is it possible that in one picture you can see North America and in another picture you see Europe and Asia, but they're not ever in the same picture? Like, how's that possible?
Because flat earthers will tell you that those pictures are not real.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause I was, the one of the videos that I saw said that they were, the majority of the pictures from space were all CG. And then somebody even took a picture from Mars and a picture from like some farm in Alabama or whatever, and they put them side by side, and then one was red and one was the green and blue that you see of the Earth, and they look, the terrain was exactly the same. So like, how do we know that that wasn't photoshopped?
Yeah,
or any other brand of photo editing software.
Yeah, I looked into it and I don't remember what it was, but they had an argument about you know, how the pictures that we see, we haven't had satellites at that distance. So,
right. But I mean, if it was a wide angle lens, it's going to look like it's further away.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not, that much of a flat earther.
That much of a flat earther.
So yeah. I've only dabbled.
No, I've looked into it. You know, I think there's a lot of interesting, there's a lot of interesting tenets that they put in there, but I generally tend to not believe it.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I'm not really, I'm not on the team of.
The flat earth.
Yeah.
There's also the hollow earth theory.
Oh, I've heard a little bit about it, like a slither of information on it, not a whole lot.
Here's my question, though. What is anybody gaining from lying about, oh, the earth is round?
A great story.
Yeah, like, what are you going to get out of it? Or even the hollow, like, who cares? what's it going to benefit you if you find out what it's at the center of the earth?
Well, yeah, like Galileo was sitting around thousands of years ago, like, I've got this story.
I'm gonna make so much bank off of this. I'm going to get so many retweets.
I'm going to pretend that the earth is round, and then I'm going to burn at the stake.
Maybe he just wanted to commit suicide, and that was his way of doing it by the authority.
Yeah, one way to do it, right?
Yeah, you know, people will go and commit suicide by police officer. That was his, was commit suicide by a witch hunt or whatever.
Yeah, there's I had one at the top of my head and the tip of my tongue.
The top of your tongue and the tip of your head.
Yes. All of those things. The teeth, the tongue, and the lips. What was it?
You're asking me. I don't know.
What was in my mind, Rob?
Bacon.
Read it.
Reese's peanut butter cups wrapped in bacon.
No, that actually kind of sounds good.
I would definitely try it.
Yeah, I would try it at least three times. Give it a fair assessment.
Would you try it?
Yeah.
Bacon in your cereal?
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it will surprise you. Just like peanuts in your grape soda.
You did tell me about that. Mm-hmm. And then the bananas and the marinara sauce?
No, that was me.
I told you about that.
Yeah, you told me about that.
You eat bananas and marinara sauce?
No, I heard about it once. Oh. But I haven't gotten up enough courage to try it yet.
It's like fries in your Mr. Misty or ice cream.
Well, that's good because that's sweet.
Not Mr. Misty, I mean your...
Mr. Frosty?
Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't sound like it'd be good, but it's good. There's things that don't sound good that are good. Give it a shot. You've been proven wrong before, right?
No.
Yeah, you have.
Oh man, I was just proven wrong.
Ninja, it's good. Trust me. Give it a shot.
Have you ever had watermelon and A1 sauce?
No.
It's really good.
You did tell me about that. That sounds so weird.
It's like sweet and salty. It's good.
I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna
do it. Seriously.
I'm gonna do it right
we're,
after.
We're gonna do a video podcast.
We should, and we'll make all these dishes, and we'll all try them. I like it.
That's yeah, I'd be down.
And I'm going to like the way it all tastes, probably.
We're going to put it on the Just Plain Nonsense YouTube channel, which is coming soon. So make sure you check that out.
Two YouTubes near you.
All the YouTubes near you.
All of them.
All right, let's get back to some conspiracy theories.
This is what happens when you let someone with ADD take control of the mic.
Is that why I always have control of it?
Yeah.
Because I don't have the ADDs?
Yeah, so you don't have them. So anyway.
How many ADDs do you have?
Well, two Ds. A lot of Ds.
You have some double Ds?
A lot of Ds, yeah. So anyway, conspiracy theories. Marilyn Monroe.
What about Marilyn Monroe?
Dude, there is so much to her than what is out there.
She was a person.
I think
she wore a dress.
I think
she stood on top of a grate where the air was blown out.
I think she was killed.
Was that her or was that Marilyn Manson?
Like, with intent to murder.
What?
I think she was silenced. Think about it. She kept that little book. She knew all the information about the presidents and all these people. I mean, about the president and all these people. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of suspicious how it all planned out. How he did. I mean, do you know anything about?
Nope.
Really?
I don't know too much about Marilyn Monroe, actually.
Dude, I don't know, man. She was irritating him a little bit.
I think she was banging the president.
Oh, for sure.
Mr. President.
I mean, she looked pretty good. I don't see why
she was a hottie.
I don't see why he wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know that people can look.
Man, what
one.
Are your thoughts on how Marilyn Monroe looked?
Marilyn Monroe hashtag me too.
Did you see that tweet by
Ben? That is not funny.
Did you see that tweet by Ben Shapiro?
Yeah, with Rosie O'Donnell.
And he did the hashtag me too.
Yeah.
So, if you guys haven't seen that, go check it out. You need to look it up.
You will love it or it'll offend you.
Yeah.
One of the two. So anyway,
triggered.
Hashtag triggered. Gives it more power when you hashtag it.
Hey, we're gonna take a short break and we'll be right back. Hey, we're back.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I actually had something to contribute to this podcast.
It's about time.
Yeah, I know. I was super quiet the first half. But, no, actually, earlier I was on Facebook just scrolling through, and I saw this video about The Simpsons and the writer of The Simpsons. What was his name again?
Matt Groening.
Yeah. Well, apparently, he's a time traveler, in case anyone wanted to know.
Yeah, let's dissect that one.
Yeah.
I think I saw that on Facebook today, too, how it had Donald Trump coming down the escalator as president.
That was one of them.
And then it showed it in, you know, in real life, him coming down the escalator to announce he was running for president. And there were actually quite a few other things that they were pretty spot on about. It was pretty amazing.
Huh. Yeah, it's weird because it all predates the actual event, so that it's...
Right, and aren't there details, like, really spot on, the details?
There's, like, 9/11 references, mm-hmm. like, in the posters in the background. It's just all kinds of crazy... The Simpsons is, like, riddled with tons of... prophecies.
Mm-hmm. You just did air quotes, everybody.
Yeah, most of them.
Hear my air quotes? They were loud.
Oh, were they? No, but most of them, they were like aired, I guess, in the 90s. So pretty far ahead of a lot of the topics.
So essentially, the people who went back in time and put those little things in there, they've definitely been murdered by now.
The creator?
Yeah, the person who time traveled and went back and put that in, they were like, we don't want that people to know that, so we're going to murder you.
Well, maybe
it was back in the 90s.
Maybe it wasn't time travel. Maybe it was premonition.
Mm. Like a Nostradamus. You know?
That's called mind travel.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it has to do with CERN.
The super collider.
Mm.
I don't know anything about CERN.
You kind of just...
All right, I know a little bit about CERN. I know it's a big circle, and they crash atoms into each other.
You know, there are a lot of people that say that CERN is responsible for the Mandela effect.
Really? Like it's sending off some kind of waves or something?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly how it went, but that they had done some sort of experiment that knocked us into a parallel
dimension
universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where only minor things are different. But, I've heard some people saying that CERN is responsible for it.
You know, yeah. I thought about that when I was younger, and I actually wrote a short story on it. It was called Seven, before the movie Seven. But it was about, like, this kid who went out to the Bermuda Triangle. He was playing with his girlfriend, and she, like, lunged at him, and he ducked under the water, and she never hit him. When he stood up, everybody was gone. And he was like, and just remember, I was, like, 11 at the time, so it's going to be a little cheesy. He came out of the water and he's looking around and he ends up finding the couple people and they took him back to this place and they ended up finding like Amelia Earhart and people like that had disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle. And the only way for him to get back to his present time was to go up on this cliff and jump off. But he did. And then when he landed in the water, he came back up and he was back in his own time. But
interesting.
I thought about the...
Yeah,
the Bermuda Triangle taking you to a parallel universe.
Yeah, the parallel universe thing is crazy because if the things change in your environment, but your memory still stays the same, and that's what explains the phenomenon of the Mandela effect, which we covered in the last conspiracy episode. It is nuts because, I mean, it's just huge. There's so many events that people all remember a certain way, and we all united on that, and yet it's not the way that it is right now in
our existence. But they're fuzzy though. We don't have like specific details. They're just fuzzy memories.
Yeah.
I mean, I swear it was the Berenstain Bears. Like, I'm serious.
Yeah,
Berenstain
we talked
Bears?
About that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of the Berenstain.
Yeah.
But hold on. Like, what would another dimension have, like, what would be the purpose of changing just the E to an A?
Well, they say that there's this test called the Observer Test.
Okay.
And it's with neutrinos. And neutrinos pretty much make up everything that you see. From,
I thought that was a new kind of cereal.
From your body to, the walls. And usually when you shoot particles, there's like two slits in a board and it goes up against the wall.
That's the... The double slit experiment?
Yes.
I learned that on the Big Bang Theory.
And they fire those and they act like particles or they act like waves.
Right.
Well, what they figured out with these neutrinos is that it does both depending on if somebody is observing it or not.
That's insane.
Yes, and so these neutrinos, they actually found split in two and can go through both holes. So it's the same exact particle occupying two spaces at the same exact time.
Doesn't that, like, compete against some of Einstein's theories?
I'm not sure, but it has broken so much philosophical ground in physics, because now they're starting to ask questions like, if these particles that make up everything that we see
can exist in two different places.
Can exist in two places at the same time, well then where is it when it's not there? It must be in another dimension that runs parallel to ours that it can shift back and forth from.
I just got the chills. So are you telling me that, like, anytime I see something out of the corner of my eye, that could be like a bunch of neutrinos coming from another dimension?
Possibly.
Or ghosts.
It's possible.
Phantom radio waves.
Yeah.
Maybe your phantom cell phone ring in your pocket.
Or those ghosts aren't actually dead spirits, but they're you getting a glimpse of
another universe.
Yeah, your eye
Know what? Maybe that's what it is. Who knows?
I have declared we are changing our whole entire podcast to talk about this kind of stuff. This is the stuff I enjoy talking about. I've declared it.
Yeah, and so they think that there are an unlimited amount of parallel universes that run next to each other, all with just like very gradual differences.
That's so much fun.
Yeah, so the next one over could be almost exactly the same, and the only difference would be like...
grass grows upside down.
Probably not that drastic, but like McDonald's is named like McBusters or something like that, and that's like the only difference, you know?
Oh. See, this is what throws me off, because...
And then as they get farther and farther away,
there are more
differences.
Okay,
see, here's where I'm conflicted in my primitive little mind. I can't grasp this. If there's, you know, this infinite amount of parallel universes, you know, unknown number, we already know from the butterfly effect that the smallest change can affect your entire existence, or, you know, the turnout of a government. So I feel like there'd have to be drastic differences just from all these small, subtle changes happening at the same time. To me, it just seems like they'd have to be just completely fucking different. Like, there couldn't be, like, you know... a Mike, you know, me, Mike Ward, or Rob, or an Eric, or whatever.
Yours would be like a Mark Wide. And since your last name is Wide, you got
the same genetic makeup, the same dude. But Harry met Sally the exact same way everywhere else, but just the differences weren't affected by the small, minute differences along the way. I don't know.
Look at some of the things from the Mandela effect, you know, like the Bernstein Bears. That's something that's small. You know, I mean, even some of the bigger things, like the Kennedy assassination. You know, I don't know if people had studied, you know, the Kennedy assassination a lot. But now if you look up a picture of the Kennedy assassination, it's a stretch convertible, a six-seater car.
Yeah, that's weird.
With a bar in the middle. And that's not something that I ever remember studying. And I remember seeing the video quite a bit studying the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, I thought it was a four-seater convertible.
Yeah, look it up now on your computer. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking it up now on my computer.
Yeah, while he's looking it up, I just think that's so strange, because unless there's so many infinite universes that when things are similar, we're able to pick up on it, because it almost fits like a slot, like a triangle in a triangle hole. It's just a different size triangle. Like, we can't pick...
Yeah, we just like shift right into it.
Yeah. Huh. Dang, dude, that's...
This is the kind of stuff I enjoy talking about.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've veered off into this topic.
Well, this is still conspiracy theories. It's actually still
right, but I like this angle that we're taking here.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, there's so many conspiracy theories out there that you can dabble in tons of them.
What am I looking up for this?
Just look up Kennedy assassination and then go to images. See, there's the front seat, there's the middle, and then there's a back seat, and there's six people in the car.
What? I only see four. Oh, they're the other people down?
Yeah.
I'm going to play devil's advocate. Maybe because...
It's a doubles advocate. Hello.
Maybe in this universe. Maybe in this reality. But maybe it's because we were focused on that. We never paid attention to the small detail in the middle. You know?
I don't remember that bar at all ever being
that there. Middle bar.
Yeah, I don't either. But I was trying to justify it.
you know, there are so many instances that are just slightly different than what many people remember.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that I love thinking about that kind of stuff. But
the human mind is so flawed anyway. Every time you try to remember something, it's like you remember less of it. When you try to recall it, it's like details can change and be manipulated by, like, if you're emotional when you watch it, you know, you're going to focus on the back seat and that's it. So you may not notice the bar in the middle until you look at it further. And you're like, oh, there is a bar there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it's not important.
Right, and your brain just kind of puts to the front of its mind.
It dismisses it, right? It's like all the white noise that goes on. Yeah. I'm looking at all these pictures, and every single one of them, they look all the same. I'm not expecting to see one different, because if we are in a different universe, and that did get changed.
And only our memories of which, that's why it's hard to...
We wouldn't see one without the bar in it.
So Ooh. Is there like a seat like before the bar then?
What is that?
Like, I can't tell.
There's a driver
and a passenger seat.
Because, like, in this close-up picture, like, you can just see the back seat. Like, I don't see that bar right there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I didn't know if there was, like, a seat, like, right there.
Yeah, it looks like in the front, it's, like, the driver and passenger seat. And then there's that bar. And then right behind that is, it looks like
another
front seat and then a back seat.
Yeah.
You know what I think's odd, though?
Your face?
The convenience of the shooter of Kennedy being assassinated shortly after. I find that way too convenient.
Was he, though?
Maybe he wasn't in one of the other universes.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, CERN, which houses the Large Hadron Collider, when you come up to CERN, the image outside, the statue right outside, is a statue of Shiva, the goddess of death.
Huh.
See, that's another one, like the Georgia Guidestones. That's one of those weird things. It's, why is that there? Who've deemed that necessary?
Yeah.
And like I was saying before in the last podcast, whether you believe in what they believe in or not, or whatever it is they may believe in, the fact that they believe in it and they've deemed it necessary is kind of alarming.
It's kind of like you know? When you were talking about the murals that they've painted in that airport.
Yes.
The Denver airport.
Yep.
And I think it's crazy that a lot of people don't know they exist.
By the Masons.
Yeah. You know? Like, there's just this big statue that no one knows about, but it's just right on the internet that you can look up, but still no one knows about it.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, Jersey Shore is way more important.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever the new trend is now, whatever the new popular show is.
I'd contend that Ash vs. Evil Dead might be a little bit more important.
I can see that.
Well, when we get in the age of technology, we have more resources to use, but we're also way more distracted. And that kind of plays into it. That, you know, there's so much information out there, but nobody knows, like you were saying. But
there's so much information overload that people generally, I think, become lethargic.
It's kind of like with options. Like, if you give people too many options, they won't make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there's a theory out there, they allow it because there's so much pumped into the conspiracy theories that... Now, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you know, you're a nut job, because then they put it all together in one big category of conspiracy theories, when in fact some of them make a lot of sense and could very well be true, and some of them you're like, what?
A lot of them have come true.
Yeah. It's true.
You know?
How many more times can we say true?
True.
100 more.
Yeah, indeed true.
Many times. This is true. The fact that they're doing these experiments, that kind of worries me too. Like, we don't know what all this stuff's going to do, so let's mess with it until we find out what this is about.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know what this is going to do whenever we crash these two atoms together. Let's just build a giant thing and make it happen.
Yeah, and then when they started doing it, they even there was a lot of talk about, you know, because they were smashing these particles together at almost light speed,
right?
Like 90, 98%, 99% the speed of light. And
it's really fast for those of you who don't know.
It's so fast that if you were on a train, you would circle the Earth 7 times every second.
That's nuts.
Whoa.
Wow.
Well, the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second, which is every second you're going 186,000 miles.
Yeah.
So if you were on a lawnmower, it would be rabbit speed.
Although for you,
that's so random.
I need more energy drinks.
You know, here's something interesting that had, you know, we've always been told that nothing can go faster than the speed of light, right?
Right.
And in fact, we haven't even been able to get anything to go the speed of light.
Right.
We've come close. And
because of mass, like if it has mass, you can't get it that going that fast.
Right. But if you were on some sort of vessel that was moving 98% the speed of light, traveling through, you know, like Chicago,
right,
traveling through Chicago 7 times every second, and you're sitting on that train, you know, life kind of goes by just as it would if you were on an airplane or sitting in a car.
Right. But everybody else is going by a lot faster.
Right.
Because time, according to his theory, Einstein's theory, time slows down the closer you get to the speed of light.
Right. And physics has this boundary, these laws that we don't necessarily fully understand, but we know that they're there. And one of them is the speed of light being the universal speed limit.
Right.
So if you were on that train and it was going 98% the speed of light and you tried to run towards the front to break the speed of light,
right,
time would slow you down to keep you from ever achieving it.
You know, I'd heard that before, but I completely slipped my mind. That's fantastic. The thought of it is just phenomenal.
Yeah, that just woke me up. That was trippy.
I'm back, guys.
Man.
You know, the amazing thing about physics is that there is so much that we don't know. You know, what we actually know is a small fragment of what there is to learn.
Oh, yeah. There's so much out there. There's no way for us to even come close to it. What is it like? I think I heard somewhere that we know like only 1%, less than 1% of what there is to know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about how many different dimensions there are, and we're only on the third.
What about the fourth dimension?
The tesseract?
No, time.
Isn't it shaped as a tesseract?
I have no idea. The third, so when you're talking about three dimensions, you're talking about width, height, and depth, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the fourth dimension, you know, Carl Sagan and a bunch of others have determined that is the shape of a tesseract, which is something that a human cannot see. We cannot see it because we cannot process it. But if we could, we would be able to move forwards and backwards in time as we chose. Which, if you've ever seen Interstellar, that's what the ending of Interstellar was. It was in the tesseract, being able to move back and forth through time. It was entering the fourth dimension.
Okay.
And the way that Carl Sagan explains it in the cosmos, he talks about, you know, imagining it as a 2D world, right? So you have a flat piece of paper, you draw a little house on it, and like a little circle person. And this circle person, it only knows two dimensions, length right. and width. So
that's flat land.
Right. It's walking around. And if you take an apple and you set it down on there, the 2D people can't look up.
They can only see the height. 4 points that the...
Right. They can only see the 4 points where it actually where touches the ground.
Right.
And so that's kind of the fourth dimension to us. It's there.
Okay.
We just can't see it. We just can't really even conceive it. And there are more dimensions than the fourth. There's the fifth and the sixth and the seventh.
I've often thought about that, like stuff like that. It's like if there is stuff out there that we can't see, we can't perceive, it's like a blind person. They only have their four senses. So they've never seen before. So they don't know the concept of sight.
Well, I mean, we've created viewing instruments that are way better than the human eye. The human eye is a horrible viewing instrument. I mean, it gets distorted all the time.
Well, yeah, because now we can see infrared light and ultraviolet light and all that kind of stuff.
So, I mean, to gauge it off of, well, this is what I see, so this is, you know, it's a tool to gauge things with. Anyway.
Yeah, it is. There's a really great documentary, if anybody's interested. It's called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Amanda's all about documentaries.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't actually watched it. It's on my queue.
Guess what we're doing when this podcast is over?
We're listening to it, watching it.
Somebody have to watch it. It is going to blow your mind.
Oh, great.
Because it talks about a lot of those things, the parallel universes. I mean, it goes over so many interesting characteristics of quantum physics, and it is something that'll completely blow your mind.
That's something that I really like getting into, like physics and
Speaking of Carl Sagan, you know, one thing that maybe it's just me, but I think this was a bad idea when he sent all that information out to space about us, hoping someone would find it.
You went over that before. You're like, this is basically us being like, come on, bro. Yeah. Come at me, bro.
Here we are. And here's what we got.
And if they were able to get it, they're probably going to be way more advanced. They probably wouldn't look at us as equals, so we'd probably end up being slaves.
Do you know the first language that it was sent in?
Hold on.
We're holding on.
Was it, what's the oldest culture? It was rather that, or it was the...
Starts with an S.
Swahili.
No.
Sumerian.
Sumerian. Yep. Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue.
Why did they pick that?
Because the Sumerians believed that they were created by aliens to harvest gold.
Wasn't that what Cowboys and Aliens was about?
Something like
that. They came here to harvest gold?
Yeah. Well, that's what they say, you know, the Anunnaki were here for.
Another partially. Conspiracy theory.
Yeah. But Carl Sagan put the first language, you know, it was in a lot of languages, but the very first language was Sumerian, because the Sumerians had an entire history of some alien culture, and it seemed that the people of the society really believed this and that they saw it, you know, regularly with their own eyes. You know, it wasn't just like a person here, a person there. It wasn't like, you know, like this group of people. It was these people, you know, all seem to have experienced the same events and the same things from the writings.
Right.
And so if there is a such thing as aliens, then they might most closely speak a dialect of Sumerian.
Interesting.
If there is such thing as aliens, do you think that they have come here and flashy thinged us to remove our memories?
Oh man.
I don't think they'd have to because most of them have been dead and gone.
I wish they would. I have some memories I'd like removed.
I mean, you see like that's how they explain all the art done in caves in different areas of the world that are in a time where people couldn't quote unquote communicate, and they all have similar, depictions of what happened in history and different things they've seen technology wise or species wise. And then, when he gets into the Anunnaki, that's a conspiracy theory in itself. Very interesting one. I've actually read into it a little bit. I don't know enough about it to really go into a big rant about it, but I thought that was really interesting about how they came here and allegedly even, spliced their DNA with ours to make us more intelligent so we can be better.
Interestingly enough, do you know what Adam means?
Isn't it like first man or something like that?
Yeah, it's the Sumerian word for first man.
Whoa. That's interesting.
But there was another one named Adama. And that was technically the first man, but it was not made to reproduce, according to the Sumerians.
Dude, that'd be trippy. Like the whole idea of us having alien DNA in us, like us being genetically modified and then stepping back and just watching us evolve to do whatever the purpose is. That means we're doomed from the beginning. Like you're not going to outpower those dudes that have been advancing. I mean, because who's to say civilization could have been around for millions of years? And here we are. You know what I mean?
How do we know that we're not some high school kids was a science fair project?
Could be. We don't. We also don't know that we're not a computer simulation.
That is true. You know, I
Elon Musk just talked about that.
All these thoughts are just super weird. And I heard someone, one of them said that we are the universe. The universe is consciousness experiencing itself or something like that. That doesn't even make sense to me. I can't even fathom that. I heard it, but I just can't comprehend it.
You know what? I think you'll understand part of that once you watch What the Bleep Do We Know.
I'm definitely going to look it up.
Dude, I'm going to watch the crap out of it.
I didn't see it on Netflix. What's it on? How do we watch it? Do we got to pirate it?
You might have to.
Because I'm totally not. I'm not down for that.
They don't call you Captain Jack for nothing.
Oh, because I'm a pirate.
Took you a little too long there, Rob.
Thank you.
There's a really interesting theory in biblical theory.
Right.
And if you look at the Sumerian tablets, you know, which was basically the foundation of Christianity, when you look at what the Sumerians wrote, it talks about how these sky gods came to earth and created man. And man was originally created not to be able to reproduce. They were a mix of genes from the species that was here and a couple modifications. And it said that there was this sky god named Enki, I believe, who is also mentioned in the Bible. So a lot of the names go back to the Old Testament. And that Enki, I believe it was an Enki, that wanted humans to be free, wanted humans to be able to reproduce and sustain themselves. And there was a group of gods that did not want that to happen.
And this is all Sumerian.
Yeah, like, Sumerian, the old Sumerian text, yeah. Okay. And, you know, they have like all the names and all that stuff, you know, and it kind of parallels biblically, even the Great Flood.
Yeah, when you were talking about the sky gods coming down and like merging with our DNA,
mm-hmm.
You were talking about how you studied anthropology, and my dad he studied biblical archaeology and cultural anthropology.
Yeah.
And he graduated with his bachelor's
degree. I love biblical archaeology, and my degree work is in anthropology.
I'd love to have a podcast with you and my dad, like just talking about that kind of stuff. Man, that'd be so interesting.
Yeah, it'd be great.
So I'll see about setting that up.
Yeah, but, let's do that.
What I was getting at was he was telling me a story about how, I don't know if it's in the Bible or in some other text, but it's like how angels came down from heaven and they mated with humans to make the Nephilim.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if those maybe kind of, they have a lot to do with each other. They may have.
Yeah, exactly.
Different interpretations of
the same story. Yeah.
You know, the Anunnaki could technically be the Nephilim, I guess.
Right.
You know, to some extent, but, we can get back to that in a minute because I think this is really interesting and I think you're going to appreciate it. So you have the Sumerian tablets that talks about these aliens doing all these things. It you know, it kind of mirrors the Old Testament of the Bible. Interestingly enough, the old Sumerian tablets actually do speak of a creator god.
Okay.
But they speak of him as if like he is someplace else or not around.
Right.
Very vaguely, you know. And there are some people who have theorized that the Old Testament is not about God. It's about these sky gods or Enki, who is very vengeful, and that Jesus was born out of the sins of the Anunnaki. And so the New Testament is about the creator God stepping into the picture and Jesus being born in the flesh.
Right.
As a human, to kind of say, I'm here. You know what I mean?
Right.
They did talk about there being a creator god.
Right.
And there was a war between the Anunnaki for the sovereignty of man or the destruction of man.
Okay.
And that the Old Testament is more reflective of that era. And, you know, humans survived and continued on. And that Jesus came for the sins of man because of what had been created, you know, that humans were kind of unnatural and forced into existence.
Okay. So it's like we're mutts that were created and they needed to come and clean it up.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. You know, the Bible is such an interesting topic.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, reading Revelations and thinking, man, The stuff in the Bible are never going to happen, you know?
And now you see it happening.
And you see what's going on in the world, and you're like, okay, yeah. I mean, you know, like 10 years ago, they were like, oh, you know, everybody's going to turn against Israel, you know? And right. You look at today, and you're like, yeah, well, we're kind of there.
You know, another one tripped me out was Nostradamus. But then I feel like they dismiss a lot of it because he speaks so vaguely that you can tear down a lot of his prophecies. You know, yeah. Like, there'll be a fire in the water. And then and you're like, well, that could mean a lot of stuff, you know? So that's interesting when you get into the theories about like different types of prophecies, prophets that prophesy certain things, you know?
Right.
That's another conspiracy theory. A lot of people believe, a lot of people are able to see into the future or, you know, make these calls and then a lot of them align and then you're like, wait, but this could also mean this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then again, you can also defend that same argument and say, if you're trying to describe something that does that didn't exist 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago,
yeah, you have no reference.
You have no reference, so you're it's one of those things. It's like can't really prove or disprove it. You know,
it's like there's in Revelation there's a something along the lines of they were seeing like dragons in the sky or something like that, and like how do they know that that's not like an Apache helicopter or some kind of fighter jet shooting missiles and stuff? All they know is that there's something giant that can fly that shoots fire out of the front of it.
Yeah. You know, that's another thing that you really have to think about when you read old texts.
Right.
How they would describe something that, there's no industrial that they don't era. Know.
They can't say it was an F-1 bomber. That
and if you've ever read the book of Ezekiel, it is pretty bizarre. Who's got a good reading voice? Who wants to pull it up and read it?
Rob.
Amanda.
Oh, I do.
Is that the one where the people think it references aliens? Or
yeah.
Do you have a specific verse or chapter?
The first.
Ezekiel first. Same as the first. That was my joke of the day. Ezekiel 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
What am I, how far am I reading? Well, this is the amplified version. We don't want that one. Not for this. How far am I reading?
All of it.
All of it? That's a lot.
The rest of the Bible from there.
And go.
I mean, this has 28 verses. That's a lot to read on a podcast. I don't think anybody's going to sit here. I mean, if I had a Morgan Freeman voice, they'd be down.
No, but it talks about, you'll read through it. It talks about description of a wheel within a wheel, you know, coming through the sky while he was at the river Chebar. It talks about these creatures that got out of them. And some of the descriptions are pretty interesting, right? Because they say, and this vehicle is like a wheel within a wheel.
Yeah, it's 1:16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, B-E-R-Y-L. I'm not sure what that means. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. So I don't have any context for that. I was trying to read, so I wasn't listening to what you're saying. So I'm kind of I'm out of the loop.
Yeah. Don't they think that they built the pyramids too? Or is that just a different alien conspiracy theory altogether?
I don't know.
Cause there's so many about the pyramids and how there's pyramids on different continents.
Yeah.
Which is really strange with the whole ancient thing. Not really.
I mean, they're starting to realize that, the pyramids in Egypt are a lot older than they had thought.
Really? What about that? Did they say there's like a secret space they found that is like has a weird function or has potential for a really weird function? I can't remember exactly what it was I was reading, so I shouldn't have brought it up. There's like maybe you knew something about
it. Like a disco party room or something?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I read something about the space they found. Like they're still finding stuff about the pyramid out all the time that's just odd and changes the idea of the function of it.
Yeah. Was there a disco ball in there?
I believe so. Yes.
It could have been the party room.
I think that's what it was. I think you need to contact these.
The DEA.
Yeah. Hey, we figured it out. Call the team home. Shut down the experiment or the study.
Find anything interesting over there?
Yeah. I switched versions trying to read over it. So make it a little bit easier. I switched to the Message version. So as I watched the four creatures, I saw something that looked like a wheel on the ground beside each of the four faced creatures. This is what the wheels looked like. They were identical wheels, sparkling like diamonds in the sun. It looked like there were wheels within wheels, like a gyroscope. I mean, that's a Message version. He didn't say gyroscope in Ezekiel because I'm sure he didn't know what that was. But I mean, I'd have to read.
And if you read it from earlier on, these wheels within wheels flew from the skies.
Yeah, and he said something about their people were coming and going in the flashes of lightning.
Yeah.
I'm like, is he talking about teleportation?
Yeah, it literally says in there that they could move basically by thought.
Interesting.
Without moving, they could move. And
here it sounds like he's even talking about like an airstrike, like a fight of airplanes. It says, the four creatures looked like a blazing fire or like fiery torches. Tongues of fire shot back and forth between the creatures, and out of the fire, bolts of lightning. creatures flashed back and forth like strikes of lightning.
Yeah.
Is he talking about a dream or a vision that he had?
No, he's talking about an actual event that happened to him when he met the angels.
That's insane. I'm definitely going to read through Ezekiel now. It always seemed like one of those books where you're like, I don't think there's probably not much in there.
But the weird thing is like they made a song about it.
About Ezekiel?
Yeah.
What is it?
You've never heard it? It's when it's like Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the sky.
Never heard that before.
You've never heard that?
Never. I guess I skipped a lot of Sunday school, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't heard that either.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty popular song.
I was listening to it before it was in church.
Before the prophets got famous.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, if you think about how long, so they, I say they loosely, but, you know, it's believed that the earth is, what, 4 billion years old, and humans have been around for, what, 400,000 estimated years? That's a lot of time where a lot of species have come and gone. I would say most of the species that live on this planet have came and gone. Like, we're what exists now is a small percentage of what could have existed back then, just even native to this planet. You know, it's absolutely crazy. And then what from the outside influence came in, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I mean, because even the dinosaurs, that's pretty freaking trippy.
Yeah, relative humans have only been here for like 20,000 years.
Dang.
I mean, as far as you know, history books are concerned.
Yeah, see, I didn't really know what I was talking about. I was throwing a number from blotchy memory. But yeah, and it's from the span of the existence of the Earth, allegedly, to the time frame of us walking around forming civilizations, and that's just not, there's a lot of open time. I mean, there's theories that civilizations can have came and gone and been more advanced than the one we have now, the ones that, you know, the world we live in now, and us have lost technology, and who knows where we could have been. I mean, that rabbit hole was deep. There's even, there's a belief that, if all the way we're going now, if all the cultures interbred, and then they would look a lot like the ancient Egyptians, right? So, and the Egyptians were at the pinnacle of their, you know, I mean, their technology compared to everyone around them allegedly was just pretty more advanced than, you know, we commonly read about. So it makes you wonder if civilization just came and then got wiped out and then came back up again. And who's to say there wasn't some really like awesome civilization that just had, that had modern America and the iPhone look like crap.
You know, like Atlantis.
There you go. Yeah.
You know what just popped into my head was that scene in Futurama where Fry falls into the little freezer thing. And then like outside the window, you see the whole city, the aliens come and destroy it, and they build up a new city, and the aliens come and destroy it, and they build up a new city. Each time they build it, it's more advanced, and then they destroy that city just over and over again over the, what, 1,000 years or whatever that he was frozen.
I mean, so many things could have happened, though. I mean, we've faced Armageddon all the time. Like, yeah. It's a miracle we exist.
Well, it's probably because we keep calling Bruce Willis to go and save us.
That's true.
Well, there's this progression in anthropology that they talk about, anthropological progress. And anthropological progress is the advancement of humans from the time when, you know, it took an entire village to grow crops to the invention of, you know, more sophisticated, helpful means. So, you know, the next generation, you might have half the people need to work on the crops and the other half can start doing other things.
Right.
Right. So somebody eventually, you know, you have more population, you need less amount of people working on food. Now you have somebody who can make clothes and someone who can make weapons. And if you think about that, that's where culture started at, you know, with an entire group of people, an entire colony needing to work together just to eat, to where we're at today. I mean, I don't even know what the future is going to hold.
Right.
Because
robots are going to take over and we're not going to have to grow any crops anymore because they're going to do it all on their own. And that's going to leave all of us free to go and do whatever we want to do. We're going to come up with some easy, cool ways to kill each other.
Maybe an iPhone that doesn't break every time you drop it.
That'd be cool. How about you just quit dropping your iPhone or quit buying an iPhone?
Yeah.
Then we'll go to the ladder. Not sponsored by Apple.
And it seems like we're right on that point where we get to see some of this stuff coming up, you know, with all the people that we have. People are now able to break things down into more and more and more specialized fields, you know, whether it's in science or medicine or chemistry or physics or engineering. But, you know, the more people that start going into things, the more they can branch off into newer and newer and newer subdivisions to focus on these issues that are just like integral cogs in, you know, the working of society.
Right. And advancing it.
Right, right.
Also, the society groups are getting bigger. Where it used to be tribal, then it becomes bigger, and now we got nations. Then eventually it's going to be one world government. But then,
you know. Keep that on the DL.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, all those things can go into play to make civilization advance. And then if it gets torn down, wiped out, of course, the natural order of things is they would all do that again and come back. And you just say it hasn't happened many times.
Yeah, Carl Sagan talked about the Drake equation. It was this equation that they used to figure out the possibility of aliens. And one of the biggest things was a civilization making it to the radio era. Okay. And not destroying themselves and wiping themselves completely off the map, which he thought might be a very small number of civilizations that actually survived the radio era.
Radio era.
The atomic era.
Gotcha.
Instead of destroying the whole entire planet.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of people who think that a civilization, once they get to that era, really reach a point to where it's very easy to make themselves go extinct.
Right. So you think that's what the dinosaurs did? They created their own atom bombs and kill each other?
Yeah, probably. I've seen some...
Well, Barney survived. So you should go ask him.
There's
a man living inside Barney.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a conspiracy theory. I like to chalk that up with the rest of them.
It's a conspiracy theory for another time.
Yeah.
So go ahead. What were you going to say?
I don't know.
Sorry. I'm cut off between the lawnmower reference and the freaking Barney.
Yeah, welcome to Just Plain Nonsense, where everything gets derailed and nobody knows what's going
constantly.
On.
Constantly.
I just started thinking about a person inside Barney. It's going to make a joke, decided not to. And
I feel like you didn't have to. I feel like it just kind of...
Completely lost my train of thought.
That joke was going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or the right one, depending on your point of view.
Yeah.
You got Sleepy Shane over there.
Yeah, we have a third guest, but he's been sleeping the entire time.
Yeah.
Poor guy's got narcolepsy.
He probably does.
I really think he does. Like, yeah, I'm good.
Seriously, I'm not kidding. He falls asleep in like 2 seconds. Like, be talking to me, like, close his eyes for 1 second, be snoring. Like, how is that possible?
You should drive home.
Yeah, don't let him drive. Especially if he's asleep.
I never do. He sucks at driving.
Yeah, he's always sleeping.
Fun fact, he failed his driver's test 2 times.
Oh, wow.
I failed mine once.
I almost pulled out in front of somebody and did not fail mine.
Yeah, I was pulling up. It was green, and then it turned yellow, and I stepped on the gas to go through the yellow, and my driver instructor told me to turn it around.
What?
Dude, I do that all the time. I'm going to make it.
Right?
Well, now you don't have... game. Well, I was going to say you don't have a driver instructor in the passenger seat, but you do.
Yeah, but
hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Oh. Dude, she is a fan.
She listens. She knows all about it.
Hey, she threw in the hey, girl. It was awesome. Yeah.
So I'm guessing we're going
to... Yeah, I think we're about caked. You have anything else to add, Amanda?
No.
Shut up.
I don't. Oh, okay.
You don't talk to our biggest fan.
Yeah, you know what? I'm unsubscribing right now.
No!
And this is Panda, by the way.
Oh, just kidding. You can keep talking, Panda.
Oh, okay, great.
Are you wearing penguin socks?
No, they're actually like creepy cat.
Oh.
Look at their claws. Dude,
we're all about cats here.
Yeah, we really are. Time.
Apparently.
I love cats.
I'm wearing a cat shirt as we speak.
I love cats. I love every kind of cat.
That musical is really weird. That's from the musical, right? Cats?
No.
Oh, never mind. But
this is actually really, really hilarious.
All right, we've gotten very derailed.
Rob, got nothing else?
No, I got nothing else.
You got anything else, Eric?
Nope.
Nope, for me. What about you, sleepy guy?
Say hi.
He waved.
Yeah.
He's awake for now. All right, so I guess that wraps it up. This was conspiracy stuff. Conspiracy theories. This was conspiracy theories part two. Hope you enjoyed. That is all. Have a good time doing what you're doing. Whatever you're doing.
Should I take after over?
Remember. To always remember stuff.
Keep going, man. You got this.
America.
Land that plane, buddy.
save me, Rob. Save me. I love lamp.
And you're done.
All right. Bye.
All right. Hey, don't forget to check us out on iTunes. Check us out on justplaynonsense.ninja. Go make sure you go visit our website. Leave a comment. Check out our store. We've got hoodies, t-shirts, coffee mugs coming soon at the request of Panda.
Yep.
Because she really wants one.
I collect them.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe and listen to us. Let us know that you're out there, and we'll see you next time. See you later.
Bye. So there I was in the hood, right? No daddy, crack mommy, 8 brothers, 9 sisters. You know what I'm saying? Just living on the street, eating like dead animals and shit. Drinking dirty water. Dog, it's real, man. It's real. Believe.
Believe that.
Believe that.
Run, tell that.
Girl, you like a beanie baby. I'm saying yes and
why
not maybe.
Why are you saying girls are like beanie babies?